So if you've all like to turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 to 31. We've been looking at the book of Galatians written by Paul for the last few weeks, and this is the latest instalment, as it were. And Paul is looking at the story of Hagar and Sarah. So starting at verse 21. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a divine promise. These things are being taken figuratively. The women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Break forth and cry aloud, you who were never in labour. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman.
Do keep your Bibles open. Page 1171 in the Orange Bibles. We will be studying it. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray now that you would teach us more about your Son by the power of your Spirit through your Word. Amen. So, who among you likes to follow rules? Who can't wait to find out what the terms and conditions say when you sign up for an app? You can't wait to get to that last paragraph. What's that one rule I missed? And how can I follow it? There was a new rule that came out recently about how we drive from Parliament. They were very gracious to all of us drivers and made it a lot harder for us to handle bicyclists on the road. I heard about it from about 10 different places. I still have not looked it up. I'm just not motivated. And yet, interestingly enough, in our passage today, we have a group of people who cannot wait to find out what the rules are. Let's look down. Galatians 4:21. Tell me, you who want to be under the law. They want to be under the law. Why would anyone do that? It's a bit odd, isn't it? Especially in our culture. Break the rules. To help us think about it, got a little illustration. What if there's something at stake? What if following the rules means that you could win something? So I've got here a little prize. A nice golden bar of chocolate. Oh, that looks nice, doesn't it? And actually, there are some rules for getting this bar of chocolate. I call it the 1 minute, 1 foot challenge. Can you balance on a single foot for 1 minute? I'll time it on my phone here. 1 foot, one. Not yet. See, if there's something at stake, if you could get a blessing out of following those rules, all of a sudden, you want to find out what they are, right? And that's actually what the Galatian church here was thinking. As, you know, Tim has been preaching to us, you know, earlier in the book, we read something along the lines of, you know, if righteousness could be gained through the law, if righteousness, if God's praise, if God's approval of us could be earned. That's how they were reading it. And actually, if you could impress God by following his rules, you'd feel pretty good about yourself, wouldn't you? That'd be quite nice. I'd be pretty chuffed. And so you can see that when there's something at stake, some people will even volunteer to submit themselves to rules. So, who would like to volunteer? 1 minute, 1 foot challenge. Let's go to the back there. Yeah, go on. 1 minute, 1 foot challenge. All right, so I'm going to bring my timer up. Yeah, stand over here. Yeah, so we can get you on the... Excellent. No eyes shut. No. All right. Oh, wait. I forgot one. Sorry, I misspoke. It's not a 1 foot 1 minute challenge. It's a 1 football 1 minute challenge. So actually, you need to balance with 1 foot for 1 minute on this football. And then you get the nice prize. I don't know. You volunteered.
Oh, that's good then.
All right, let's see. Let's see. Are you ready? Wait. No, let me set the timer. This is important. All right, ready, steady, go. All right, one more go. Should we try? Yeah. No. All right, go. Oh. Fall and failure. Okay, sorry, no prize for you. Go ahead. You see, gaming the system sounds great unless the game is impossible. Right? Gaming the system sounds great unless it's impossible. And that leads us to our first point in this passage today, which is do not live like an employee. Do not live like an employee. You see, the Galatians, they were excited, like, yeah, I can do this, you know? But they hadn't read the rules carefully. Just like I hadn't given all the rules there, they hadn't read the rules carefully. Let's go. Galatians 4:21, at the end of that verse. Are you not aware of what the law says? Have you read? Oops. Oh, that would have been when the prize came. Would it have lasted that long? Are you not aware? So the law here refers not just to the specific laws we read in the Old Testament, but it refers to the first 5 books, right? So including Genesis. And in Genesis, we have this story of two women who were completely different. One was a slave or servant, and the other one was free. And Paul here refers to these two. So let's keep reading. Galatians 4:22 to 23. For it is written in the Bible that Abraham had 2 sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born according to, or as a result of, a divine promise. Okay, we got 2 sons here. Where do they come from? It's interesting. The first son comes from the flesh. What is that referring to? That refers to us. Whatever we got about us, our strength, our ability. And this son was born according to the flesh. What is that? That is a result of being an employee, right? You worked hard. You got the result of your work. You earned it. That first son was earned. But the second son was born through a divine promise, divine from God, promise. And so he didn't come from you earning it, from anyone earning it. He came by God's choice. And so now let's actually go back and read this, because I think it is helpful. What passage is Paul actually referring to here? He's referring to Genesis chapter 16. So if you'd like to turn there in the Orange Bibles, that's page 16. Okay, let's actually read through. And for a moment, imagine that you are Hagar, right? That's the slave woman. Imagine, try to put yourself in her shoes. What's life like for you? So page 16, chapter 16, verses 1 to 6. We'll just read the first four verses now. Now Sarai, that was Sarah's name beforehand, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. You know, it's very hard to want children and not be able to have them. I didn't experience that until I was older. And for us, it wasn't even for very long. And even that short period of time of not being able to have children when you want, it's very, very difficult. But here is Sarai, and she's quite old. She's probably like past 70. And she hasn't had any children. And she's desperately wanted to have children. Years and years of hoping, maybe this month, but only ending in heartache. And so this is when Sarai hatches a plan. She's like, you know what? Maybe God needs a little bit of help, right? Maybe I can build a family through her. Do you see that, verse 2? Maybe I can build. What is that? That's according to the flesh. That's by her strength. That's by her wisdom. I'm really smart. I know. You can sleep with a different woman. And so, Sarai is going to get the blessing by playing the rules, by playing the game. Do you see how hard she's trying? How far she's willing to go? I mean, for us, it's just shocking. Why would you allow that to happen? But this is what she's willing to do to get the blessing by her own strength. And so she is living like an employee. She's going to work hard, and she's going to get what she deserves. Now, we look at that, and we think, okay, that's a bit extreme. But I don't live like an employee. I don't try to earn blessing from God. Well, the first thing I'd invite us to think about is whether you are constantly trying to earn blessing from other gods. I mean, technically, most of us are actually employees, right? Like, we signed a contract. We know what it means. You work hard, you get paid. And as you work hard, I mean, think of your whole life up until this point, your professional life. Study hard in school. Work, 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 work. Get some good grades. Yes, you got the blessing. Go for some work experience. You know, I hope the employers like me. Okay, what do I need to do? Let's learn this. Okay, I'm getting good at it. That was a good work experience. I mean, I can put that on my CV, right? Blessing. Then finally, the job interview. This one's always fun. Literally, your entire future on stake professionally in like a 2-hour period. Will I pass? Am I good enough? Will I get the blessing of this job? But let's say that, you know, for that isn't so much of a challenge for you. What about friends? How do we relate to our friends? I think especially when I was younger, I was constantly worried, am I wearing the right clothes? What will they think of me if I wear those trousers or those shoes? If I wear the right thing, maybe they'll like me. Or what about saying the right thing? I mean, how many of us have spent an hour at the end of the day, awake at night, thinking, gosh, why did I say that? What must they think of me now? If only I said the right thing, my friends would like me more. They'd think more of me. Or what if I'm in the wrong group of friends? You know, there's all those popular kids over there. They never talk to me. They never invite me out. And I think in our day and age, this gets even harder with social media, right? Because there's literally a game with rules. You post something and you get likes. You post something, you get reactions. You get followers. work hard enough and you can earn people's attention, people's friendship on social media. And then finally, romantic relationships. In our dating culture today, what is dating about? Proving yourself. Are you good enough to be with this person? The first date is an interview, right? Tell me about yourself. What are your qualifications? How much do you earn? And then from that moment on, as the dating continues, you're proving, it's harder and harder to prove yourself. Can I get to the point of getting this other person to commit to me? And for some of us, that moment never comes. We never get married. We never get that commitment from the other person. And so we're just on edge. And that leads us finally to our relationship with God. All of that feeds into how we think about God. Does God have this minimum standard? And if I don't live up to that, wherever that might be, he won't accept me. I tried hard this week. He must like me a bit more, right? I must be in his good books. I think God is marking me. I think he's giving me grades. And at the end of every day, it's a grade. You know, I used to have A's sometimes. He gave me an A, gave me a B. Maybe I failed. So the reality is all of us are born this way. We're all born as employees. And our natural way of relating with other people and with God is by working to get benefit. And then the interesting thing is that for Sarai, her plan actually worked. Right? She actually got that blessing. Take a look. Genesis 16:4. Abram slept with Hagar and she conceived. All of those years that Sarai couldn't get a child and this one plan that she tried worked. There's a baby coming. And when she knew that she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. What? I thought it worked. And this is the first thing that we need to know, is that when we gain things by working, when we achieve things and get blessing through that, we will be proud. We will be arrogant. We will look down on other people who have not done it as well as we have. Hagar, this poor Egyptian slave, could do something that Sarai, the wife of the guy in charge of the entire tribe, couldn't do. You see that? She despised her mistress. And that's how we think, isn't it, when we succeed? Look at my grades. Ooh, a bit better than hers. Look at my friends. Much more popular than that guy's. Look at my job. Look at the pay. It's so much higher than the average for exactly the same kind of job that someone else has. And finally, in our relationship with God, I'm not like those other Christians. I don't struggle in that area. And so that's the first thing. When we live as employees, we will become proud and arrogant of our achievements. But at the same time, and this is the irony in all of this, at the same time, it will always result in a form of failure. Look at Genesis 16:5-6. Then Sarai said to Abraham, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms. And now that she knows that she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between us, between you and me. Your slave is in your hands," Abraham said. "You deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. It was your idea. Do whatever you think is best." And then Sarai ill-treated Hagar. So Hagar fled from her. See what happens? Based on their own effort, the relationship utterly falls apart. They start blaming each other. They start not caring. It's your job. You deal with it. You handle it. They start mistreating each other. Sarai oppresses Hagar, and here's the cherry on top of the cake. The baby flees. The blessing's gone. Hagar runs away. And that's what happens to us as well, isn't it? Ultimately, when we rely on our own efforts, we'll fail that exam. There's that moment where our friends exclude us. What? I didn't get invited? That performance review at work, this is dicey. Ooh, he was not happy with me. And then finally, in our relationship with God, I keep sinning. I keep failing. What must God think of me? And so what Paul is saying to us here in Galatians is that if we are living like an employee, we are Hagar's son. Ishmael, that slave's son, that's us. We're born of effort. And so we deserve anything that he deserves. And so if we go back to Galatians 4, page 1171 in the Orange Bibles, 1171, let's keep that open. How does Paul comment on this passage? What does he say? These things are being taken figuratively. The women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai. Where's Mount Sinai? What happened at Mount Sinai? Anyone remember? What was it? The law. The law was given at Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments, right? One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. What does it mean to be in slavery? It means that you have to live up to the Ten Commandments. Otherwise, you don't get blessing, right? And even more interestingly, take a look at what it says. To be a son of Hagar means that you live in the present city of Jerusalem. What is that about? Well, at the time for the Galatians, there was a very prestigious group of people who followed God. They had their own massive temple, their own massive city, their own country. They were called the Jews. And their obedience to God was tangible. They knew that, well, at least they thought, they knew that they were God's people because of all the wonderful things they could see about themselves, all the wonderful things they had accomplished. And so that's the core attraction, isn't it? We love being employees because it's tangible. I can feel my success. I know, based on my own effort, that I'm okay with God. And yet what Paul says to us here is don't live like an employee. Don't. Rather, there's another way to live, which is not by my own effort, not constantly trying to prove myself. Let's look at verse 26. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. Now, what does it mean to have a Jerusalem which is above? I mean, NASA's gone up there. They haven't found anything, at least not a Jerusalem. In order to illustrate, I'm going to offer something else. Well, actually, I'm going to offer the same thing. A nice, beautiful, golden bar of chocolate. Ah, it feels so nice, doesn't it? I mean, to be honest, I thought the other flavors would be nicer, but look at the color. It's like all nice and shiny. And now, I'm going to invite someone else to come up and have the chocolate. Who'd like to come up and have it? Theo, do you want to come up? All right, come forward. Come stand here. So Theo, if you don't know, Theo, who are you? You're my son. Yeah? He's my son. And what did I say to you in the parking lot before we came in? About the chocolate bar. You can't remember. Well, this is part of a good illustration. I remember that I promised you could have it. I said, does that mean you get to have it? Do you have to work really hard to get it? Do you have to balance on that ball for 1 minute? No. You just have to, do you trust me? Do you trust that you're going to get it? Are you sure? There you go. Oh, that was responsible. He put it under the chair. He didn't start eating it. I was worried there. What happened there was that he got the chocolate bar based on something he couldn't see. Do you see that? He wasn't doing something. He wasn't balancing on a ball, like, you know, trying to look all cool and stuff. Sorry, I would have looked more silly. He trusted something he could not see. He trusted a promise. A promise is not something you can taste. You can't touch it. You can't move it. He trusted something you can't see. And that is the Jerusalem above, right? In this verse 26. But the Jerusalem of above, that's God's home, we cannot see. And therefore, we learn about it through faith. We learn about it by trusting what God has said to us. We learn about it by God promising it to us. And therefore, it cannot be by effort. You cannot get there by working hard. And there's lots of challenges with that, right? So let's keep looking. Let's keep reading. Galatians 4:27. Be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child, break forth and cry aloud. You who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. To live by faith will mean accepting less proof. It'll mean accepting that you can't feel, you can't know tangibly that you're accepted by God, but you must trust God's promise. And the promise here is amazing, right? Which is the children of the free woman will be far larger. The people in heaven right now completely outnumber the ones who thought they could get blessing down here. And so this is our challenge, verse 28. Now, brothers and sisters, you are children of promise. You are children of promise. You are sons. What does that mean? So, another illustration. So imagine, and this is really an illustration in case something bad happens. Imagine that Luciana this past week, every day she got up and she just felt stressed. Did I wake up on time? If I didn't, I don't get breakfast. Then when she gets dressed, I gotta choose the right clothes here. If I don't choose the right clothes, mommy won't love me as much. So she goes through the whole day questioning every decision. Because everything's at stake, isn't it? And then finally, I come down from work after my long day. And she says, hi, Papa. But I think, oh, that wasn't very polite. Okay, Luciana, tonight you can't sleep in this house. You lost that privilege. What's your reaction to that? It's outrageous. It's ridiculous. Why is it ridiculous? Because she's my daughter. Her relationship with me is never at stake. There's nothing she could do to change the rights that she has. And this is the important point. Living like a son means you have a right to be in God's house. You belong there. There's nothing at stake. You belong in God's house just as much as Luciana belongs in my house, and she has a right to breakfast. She has a right to love. She has a right to acceptance. You guys see the contrast there? And then one last point. Many of us will think, okay, fair enough. God's promise, I accept. By faith, I'm in. I'm God's son. But doesn't it help just a little to work hard? Can I just add a little bit of obedience here and there? Can I mix the two? Like, I know I'm a son, but I kind of like being an employee, because if I'm not an employee, well, nothing's at stake and I just lose all motivation. Right? That's how I'm built. I'm built to be motivated by getting rewards. So, you know, let's mix it up, can we? And actually, a lot of versions of Christianity today will do that. But there's a strong warning we need to face. Okay, verse 30. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son. For the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Ishmael, the slave woman's son, and his mom, they got kicked out. Why? Because they didn't belong. They had no right to be there. The contract ended. Right? My company has an office in Cambridge. I can go to that office for now, but once my contract with that company is up, I don't belong there. I have no right to be there. If my performance isn't good enough, I'm out. And what Scripture says here is that there are only two options. There's no third son who's like a mixture. You're either the employee or you're the actual son. And so finally, how can we then be like that? How can we live like that? Right? It sounds amazing. How can we do it? Well, again, got our last illustration here. We got this nice family Bible. I like this thing. Well, actually, I don't really read it, but it looks nice. I read the digital version, in case you started to worry about me. Where should I put this in my house? What's a good place to put this? On a shelf? What about like the floor? You know, just underneath the sofa where all the, like, would I put the Bible there? What about like maybe in the bathroom? You know, just next to the shower. It might get a little bit wet here and there. Or yeah, what about the bin? What if I just dropped it in the bin? I wouldn't do any of those things because the Bible's precious. Now, one thing I haven't told you is that there is something inside of this Bible. There is a very obnoxious-looking bookmark. See that? Look at that color. Oh, hurts my eyes. But what's amazing is that this bookmark is not on the floor, not forgotten in the bathroom, not in the bin. This bookmark is anywhere I put this Bible. And so this Bible deserves to be on the top shelf, place of respect, make sure, you know, grimy hands don't get all over it. This Bible deserves to be in a position of honor in my house. And the bookmark on its own, if I just take this out, this is like any other bookmark. Actually, it's probably worse than most of the nicer bookmarks that have like some kind of nice quote on them. I'm going to throw this away if I don't put it in the Bible. And this is the illustration that Tim gave us a few weeks ago, which is Christ is the book. We are the bookmark. And where we go, well, where Christ goes, where the Bible goes, the bookmark goes as well. If the Bible goes in a position of honor, the bookmark does too. Not because the bookmark's great, not because it's amazing, not because it looks nice, but because it is in the Bible. And so this is our last point. How can you live like a son? You need to be in the Son. Does that make sense? Sorry, a little play on words. How do you live like a son? You need to be in the Son. By faith, you get to be in Christ. You get to be inside that Bible. And however Jesus is treated, you are treated. And so does Jesus have a right to be in God's house? Yes. He is God's only begotten Son. And so do you have a right then? Yes. Does Jesus belong in God's house? Is it his? Absolutely. And if you are in him, you belong too. And finally, how does God think of Jesus? Does he wonder, you know, is Jesus obeying me today? Like, should I be nice to him? No. The Father unconditionally loves Jesus and approves of everything he does. And if we are then in Jesus, God approves of us as well. And so God covers us, doesn't he? Christ covers us. So let's look at last verse, Galatians 3:27. I think it's just a little bit earlier on that open fold. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children. You are all sons of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, right? Into him. And therefore have clothed yourself with Christ. We're covered. God doesn't see our weakness, our foolishness, our unworthiness. He sees Jesus, and he approves of him, and therefore he approves of us. And so my plea to you is don't live like an employee. Don't do it. Live like a son by faith in the Son. Amen. Oh, questions. I thought I was off the hook. Awesome. If you guys can bear to put more attention into this. Questions that came up in the passage. I mean, remember, it's God's word that's authoritative, not me. So anything I've said that is not in the Bible, please ignore it completely. Jethro, go for it. Good point. Yeah. So we didn't get to that. So actually, what happened? Oh, yeah, I'll repeat the question. Sorry. So we see in verse 29, let me bring that up, that the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born of promise, right? And actually, in the original account, Hagar started to make fun. Ishmael started to make fun of Isaac when Isaac's birthday was being thrown. He despised him. He made fun of him. And when you think about it, where was that coming from? It's because Ishmael knew that deep down he didn't belong. He had to put down Isaac in order to belong. And so how does this then relate to this passage, first of all? Well, there were Jews who were jealous of the Christians who belonged, even though they didn't have to live up to standards to prove that they were good enough. And so they persecuted. The Jews went after the Christians, made fun of them, tried to put them down to make themselves feel better. And the same thing happens today, which is we might not be as surrounded by people who try to live by God's law, but we're surrounded by lots of people who try to live according to rules to get benefit. And they will constantly put us down and be jealous of the fact that we're secure in who we are because we've been blessed by promise. Does that help? Yeah, awesome. Yeah, go on. So, what if we are not born in a Christian family, right? So, what if we look at Genesis and, you know, look, Isaac was blessed because he was born of Abraham, right? Abraham was a believer, and so you need to be born of a believer to be blessed. The amazing thing here is that it's saying the exact opposite of that, which is actually both Ishmael and Isaac were born in a believing family, weren't they? Both of them were born of a believer. But only one of them was chosen. And therefore, he wasn't chosen because he was born of a believer. He was chosen because God wanted to. You're not born into Christianity. You don't earn it by having the right parents. It's God who chooses you to put you into his family. And he does that through faith. You hear the word, you believe, you join. Great question.